Hello, colleagues. We are happy to welcome you here today. Our today's conference is about the company's operations in the domestic market. Hosting the conference is Kirill Selezhnev, member of the Management Committee, head of the department, and Director General of Gazprom Mezhregion Gas. And I shall be handing over the floor to Mr. Selezhnev, and we have approximately 1 hour. Please. Good day, colleagues. Thank you for the warm welcome. We are meeting every year now, and with every year, the applause is ever more impressive, and that's very nice. So I suggest we begin as usual. I shall walk you through briefly through the presentation, which you have. And after that, as we've already said, I will be taking your questions, which I believe are extremely relevant for you. And we will do our best to cover all your questions. Now let's move on to the first slide, that's natural gas sales in the domestic market. It totaled 234 BCM of gas. That's a decline of 2.8% compared to the previous year. The average gas sales price went up to an average of 3,815 rubles. That's an average increase of 4.8%. And on this chart, you can also see the proceeds from gas sales. And as you see, it's also up by 1.8%. In 2016, Gazprom continued its efforts to sell gas on SPYMEX, and there was an increase of 149% in gas sold compared to 2015. In the first quarter of this year, we have already sold almost 3.6 BCM of gas. That's quite a lot, and compared to the first quarter of the previous year, that's a rise of 125%. If we talk about overall sales by Gazprom Mezhregion Gas, including Gazprom Group Gas, the total sales was 246.3 BCM of gas. That's up 2.8% compared to the previous year. Also, thanks to the gasification program, we continue adding new consumers, and we are creating conditions for new consumers. That's around 244 locations, and we have about 25.4 thousand households and 175 boiler houses ready to be connected. Now, I would like to talk about the gasification program in greater detail. Our investment totaled 295.2 billion rubles, and we have built 163 pipelines. And in 2016, the total level of gasification of gas availability increased by 1% to 67.2%. And here you see a breakdown by cities and towns and the rural area. You can see it on the chart. One of the problems that we have been having for many years now under the gasification program is definitely the failure to deliver on regional commitments by regional authorities in terms of synchronizing works on the pipelines already connected. Here on slide 4, you can see that 47 regions who participate in the program comply with their obligations. 12 regions are somewhat behind the schedule, but still the trend is positive. We can see certain signs of good performance, and 7 regions are non-performing in terms of their commitments. And we believe that in 2017, those obligations will not be met. Now, moving on to the next slide, we see quite a strong potential to increase the volume of transportation of gas on existing gas networks. You see the level of utilization on the chart, and you can see the potential on the chart too, that ranges from 23 to 57%, depending on the federal district, And as you can see, the minimum level of utilization is seen in the Far Eastern Federal District. More than 180,000 technical specifications for connection were issued in 2016. That's equivalent to 14.5 billion cubic meters of additional transportation volume. Now I'd like to talk in greater detail about the gasification program for 2017 to 2021. The program has been developed for many regions and is currently in the approval stage. There are plans to build a total of 24,000 kilometers of gas pipelines. That means more than 600,000 households and apartments and more than 3,000 boiler houses and other facilities will be ready to be connected. Now, our sore point, it is our receivables due. Today, regretfully, our receivables continue rising. It stood at 199.3 billion rubles as of the 1st of May. And as you can see from the chart, it's an increase of 6.3% compared to the previous year. The key delinquent payers with the breakdown by consumer groups, you can see on the chart. Everything basically remains the same. It's heat supply companies and population. And if we talk about population, it's predominantly people in the North Caucasus and the Southern Federal District. Now, what we have done in terms of improving legislation in gas supplies. In 2015, Federal Law Number 307 was passed, and in 2016 and in 2017, Government Decrees Number 1246 and 139 were passed, and also Federal Law Number 412 was passed in December, and finally 269. Federal law was also passed. These are the laws that we currently operate under. Unfortunately, there is currently not enough practice on effectively enforcing those new laws and regulations, but we are constantly engaged in improving those mechanisms that we have. Now, next slide, slide 9, measures we are taking to improve the payment discipline. We are taking those in respect to both legal entities and individuals. And if we look at legal entities, there is a rise of 23.2%. That's an increase in limitations of gas supply. And there is also a 1.6% increase in limitations to individuals. And we're also actively engaged in claims and administrative and legal actions and receiving respective court orders and decisions. We are also stepping up and continuing our cooperation with law enforcement agencies. Quite a lot of petitions have been filed and quite a lot of administrative and legal proceedings were opened, although criminal cases were fewer. We would like to see more of them, but we are working in that direction and we are in constant dialogue with law enforcement agencies. In terms of the payment discipline for the North Caucasus Federal District, the measures are basically the same as we have been doing before. Here we are constantly updating our customer base. We are installing gas metering equipment, and I will be talking about that in greater detail. Here, I would like to elaborate on the initiative that we launched in 2016. We decided to move somewhat away from a centralized sales scheme to Gazprom Mezhregion Gas Pyatigorsk, and as a result, we created an individual entity in each of the republics with no intermediary. We have looked at the practice and the track record that we've had over the past decade. We are not happy with the performance, so together with regional authorities, we decided to move real close to consumers in order to improve the performance in North Caucasus. On the next slide, slide 11, you can see information of about what I have already mentioned, its inventory taking of the customer base and also a pilot project to introduce telemetric gas metering equipment. And also, as in other regions of Russia, we continue interaction with law enforcement agencies. Unfortunately, the trend in petitions and criminal investigations launched is still not very good, and we continue our efforts in that field. Now, a brief overview of performance of heat supply companies, generating companies, and public sector entities. On slide 12, you can see all the information. Our sole point, as I've already said, is the heat supply companies. We have signed schedules for debt repayment with 24 Russian regions, but as you can see from this slide, only 34 of them have been implemented. There are regions that do not comply with that schedules altogether. And of course, there are regions like Kaliningrad and Stavropol and Novgorod regions which do comply with their obligations. In terms of generating companies, our key bad debtors is TGC2. There's a 12.2% increase in receivables, but recently there has been a good performance with shareholders, good interaction with regional authorities, and we hope that this trend will be reversed in 2017. There is also a rise in debt owned by Centralno CHPP, that's Central Heating Power Plant of Novokuznetsk. There was a rise by 14.3% in debt. And also, there is also a schedule of debt restructuring owed by T Plus of CAS Holding, and we hope to have it fully repaid soon. In the private sector entities, the traditional debtor is the Ministry of Defense and its entities. It's 6.5 billion rubles as of the 1st of May, and we regularly hold meetings and discussions on that matter. But it's a matter that relates to the budgeting process within the Ministry of Defense. So we continue that dialogue. So far, there is no trend for improvement, but we hope to see that in 2017. And a couple of words on what we do in terms of improving our legislation in gas supply. There are a number of initiatives and projects of federal laws and government decrees. An overview of them is shown on this slide with a respective status. Some of our initiatives are already being considered. Some of them are sent to the State Duma, and we are cooperating with the Ministry of Construction and the Ministry of Energy, and we hope that in 2017 most of that initiatives will be approved either as laws or government decrees. That concludes my presentation, and I am now ready to take your questions. Thank you, Mr. Selesnyov. And I suggest we start with the regional media. Please. Daria Finogenova from the Vologda region, that's 7th channel. What is your view of the efforts to reduce the debt in the Vologda region for 2016? And based on that performance, can our region hope to see additional investments in its gasification program? Thank you. Thank you for your question. The volume of investments in the gasification of the Vologda region in 2016 was 400 million rubles. In 2017, it was reduced to 100 million. The performance in debt collection is positive, but it is not positive enough, definitely. For the past year, the debt fell by just around 200 million to 1.4 billion rubles. That's definitely not enough. So we will be continuing our efforts with the regional administration. As you know, by August, we will be reviewing our performance to date in terms of the gasification program in 2017. And we will be looking at how regional authorities perform on their obligations, and based on that, we will make decisions on whether to allocate additional investments or whether to keep them at 100 million rubles. So everything is up to the regional government. The trend is positive, and I hope it will continue going forward. Maxim Strugov, Kommersant, Perm territory. Recently, we had a new head of our region appointment. What is your view of the prospects for cooperation between your company and our region? Has there been any change in your attitude towards our region now that we have a new head? Well, as you said, the head of your region was appointed quite recently. It was in February. So it would be premature to be talking about anything as yet. The level of debt in the Perm territory is quite significant, and we see that there is a new HR policy being implemented in the region. There was a meeting held with chairman of Gazprom, held with the head of your region, and they discussed, among other things, the level of debt, and I can provide you with more detail. The level is quite significant. That's 3.7 billion rubles. Investments in gasification are not really high either. We are continuing the projects that are already ongoing. So we hope that we will be able to establish fruitful cooperation with the new head of your region and will resolve that issue. Elena Vaskanyan, Energy and Industry of Russia. At your last press conference, you mentioned plans to increase Gazprom Межрегионгаз presence in the heat supply sector of the Moscow region through your subsidiary. I would like to know the progress in that field, and I'd also like to know whether you are planning to purchase facilities from municipalities or you are going to lease them, and how will it help to solve the high debt level problem in the Moscow region. We have done quite a lot in cooperating with the Moscow region in terms of the heat supply sector. Total investments in that field is estimated at approximately 5.6 billion rubles. As for municipal districts, we have already started, together with regional administrations, registering property in order to move into the final stage, that is signing concession agreements. And for a number of districts, we hope to enter into the bidding procedure to acquire municipal property. We are quite actively involved in that, and we hope that in 2017, the concession agreement will be signed and we will acquire the property through the bidding procedure. And after that, as owners, we will be able to modernize and upgrade the heat supply infrastructure in the Moscow region. Sovietska Chuvashia from the Chuvash Republic. There was a similar question asked already, but I would like to ask about our region. According to your information, Chuvashia was 100% compliant with the work synchronization plan. But in terms of payments for gas, the situation leaves a lot to be desired, so to speak. In that situation, will there be investments into the region for the Zavolzhye region, which is really in need of gas access? Thank you for your question. Indeed, today investments in the gasification program of your republic stands only at 30 million rubles. There's receivables of 1.8 billion rubles. And I'd also like to note that the level of gas penetration or gasification in Chuvashia is fairly high. That's 91.3%. In terms of potential efforts going forward, what the Republic really needs, as you've said, we are in constant dialogue with the administration. As I've said, if we see positive performance in terms of debt repayment by August, we will look into the matter of providing additional investments in this year and also in next year. Северный Кавказ, Ольга Лязак. Question. You have described in quite a detail what we have in our region, but I think that probably it is the mentality of our region, because we have seen quite a lot of changes in the gas supply systems and organizations. Because now that we have no Gazprom Межрегион Газ Пятигорск, it means that we have no debt owed to it. More than 80% of total debt is the North Caucasus debt. Is there a chance you will write off that debt, given it's the pre-election year? Answer. No, there's a scheme when we allocate funds from other regions of Russia. And I must say that it has been 14 years that Gazprom Межрегион Газ Пятигорск acted as a regional company, and there were branches in republics, and there was a clear distinction of responsibilities and in functions in the supply of gas. So everything was quite clear. And the new measure that we introduced this year does not mean in any way that those debts can be in any way written off. If gas was supplied and consumed, it means that the debt owed to Gazprom Межрегион Газ Пятигорск must be definitely repaid to Gazprom. The debt recovery mechanism has been communicated to consumers, and the new companies are already active in those efforts. So we do not have those concerns. The gas consumed must be paid for. Ivstoli Taranda, the first Arctic channel. What is the progress of the most gas-producing region, that's Yamal-Nenetsk Autonomous Area? I guess the costs are higher. You've signed an agreement with the governor of the region. Is everything going according to plan? You know, you are right in saying that we signed an agreement, and this agreement in terms of gasification and the construction of social facility infrastructure in your region, there were a number of arrangements and agreements achieved, and right now everything is going as planned. We are cooperating with the region, and there are no problems that relate either to debt or any other matters, so we will continue our efforts. Svetlana Barashegova, Yaroslavl region, Severny Krai newspaper. You've already mentioned TGC2 as a sore point that you have in Gazprom because the debt is quite considerable. In the Yaroslavl region, it is one of the key heat supply companies for us. As a result, for many years, the gas debt in the Yaroslavl region has been a very pressing issue, and it is now relevant even for ordinary people who do pay for the gas. 1 year ago, there were talks that the region's debt is only growing. There are no prospects to clear them up, and the regional government is not ready to engage in any dialogue, but now we have a new governor and the new management at TGC2. So I would like to know what are the ways to resolve that issue that you currently are pursuing. Indeed, the debt in the Yaroslavl region is quite significant. It exceeds 5.4 billion rubles as of the 1st of May. However, as a result of the change of the management team and the governor of the Yaroslavl region, we have revised our approaches. Right now, we are actively building and drafting a 5-year restructuring plan for the existing debt, provided that existing gas supplies to date are paid in full. And we see efforts being stepped up from the regional government. Right now, our investments stand at 914 million rubles, so that means we are becoming more active in the Yaroslavl region, and we hope that the measures that the regional government is coming up with will be implemented in full, and we will continue our cooperation. Elizaveta Parashkova, RIA Novosti News Agency. I have a question about Sakhalin. The local Duma sent a request to step up the pace of gasification. Have you received it? And is Gazprom complying with its commitments in that field? And second question about the region of Omsk. Starting the 5th of June, Gazprom Mezhregion Gas is planning to halt supplies to the heat supply company in the region. Does that mean that local residents will be left with no gas? And a third, more general question. There was an increase in the gasification level of just 1% for last year. What is the reason for such a moderate increase? Should we expect a higher pace going forward? How much are you planning to invest in that area in 2017? Let's begin with Sakhalin. Indeed, there was this request sent. It's hard to say what was the rationale behind it, because Gazprom fully delivers on its commitment to gasify the Sakhalin region. And together with the government of the Sakhalin region, there is an approved work synchronization plan for the next years. And in accordance with that, we are to construct 7 facilities and design just above 20 facilities for gas supply and gasification. Right now, we see that there is some misunderstanding in place, so we are drafting and developing a working group, and after that, I hope we will achieve some results. But responding to your question, there are no problems today. As for the Omsk region, there is certainly a debt in place, and today it stands at 1.25 billion rubles, and I wouldn't like to dramatize this situation. Indeed, there was an order to limit gas supplies, and we hope that the debt will be repaid in full or in part, and we will not have to limit the supplies. As for the 1% rise in the gasification level, the annual amount spent into that remains approximately the same. That's approximately 25 to 28 billion rubles. And investments in the gasification program this year will be just above 25 billion rubles. And the reason for the 1% increase is that we have been involved in that program for quite a long time now, and the strongest efforts were in the first years after the program was launched. And in those initial years, there was a sharp increase in the number of consumers that we added. So generally, the increase in those initial years stood at 1.5 to 2% annually. And over the past 5 years, the overall increase totaled around 2.8% cumulatively. For the past year, 1% is what we believe is quite good. A follow-up question. What is the maximum level of gasification possible in Russia? Is it below 100%? Everything depends on the economics, because we do the gasification program based on an integrated approach. There is network-based gas, and there is also autonomous gasification. We had a pilot project implemented in the Perm territory of autonomous gasification. So everything is up to the economic feasibility. Providing gas to a settlement with 10 to 15 residents only makes no sense if we do that through the gas network system. So we are in cooperation with regional governments, and we are drafting a respective program in that respect. It's hard to say what the result will be, but definitely 100% gasification for the entire Russia is not something we are aiming at. Now let's take questions from the federal media. Interfax News Agency, Varvara Kulaeva. Several questions, if I may. First, 2016, you projected a loss of 30.5 billion rubles from domestic supplies. What's the actual performance? Second question, what is the progress in negotiations with gas supplies to Tatarstan? Is Gazprom planning to allocate a separate line of pipeline to that region? And third, Gazprom Mezhregion Gas has a 150 billion ruble investment program, but the gasification accounts for only 25 billion rubles. What is the remaining part being aimed at? As for losses from domestic gas sales, I think you'd better address that question to the financial and economics block. I'm not sure if we've already had that press conference. They can come up with more detailed information. As for the project to build a plant in Tatarstan, Gazprom indeed is involved in that agreement. Today, the parties are preparing a feasibility study for that. I can only say that as for technical capacity, Gazprom is capable of providing resources for that. And once feasibility study is completed, the decision will be made whether Gazprom is involved, and if yes, on what terms and conditions. As for the 150 billion ruble program, I'm not sure where you have that information from. I suppose that was some sort of a deal with no actual money. It was something about us contributing money to the charter capital of Gazprom Gazorespredelenie. Right now, we have our investment program approved at 36 billion rubles, and part of them is gasification. About 1.8 billion is the upgrade and reconstruction of gas supply systems. That's what we are planning to spend on the heat supply system, mainly in the Leningrad region and the Moscow region, for the projects that we already have ongoing, and also a number of social and sports facilities under the Gazprom for Children program. I think the total amount to construct consumer services offices is just is very moderate, just above 400 million rubles for the entire Russia. A follow-up question. Was Gazprom indeed involved in talks with Arkady Rotenberg to sell Gazprom Gazenergosieť? What are the results of those talks? Do you see any prospects for them to be resumed? I think you should ask the person who was involved in those talks with Arkady Rotenberg. I personally was not involved in any talks with them. Gazprom Gazenergosieť, I don't see any need to buy that company because it acts as an operator to sell liquid hydrocarbons from plants of Gazprom. Probably you mean the assets that are related to the sale of liquefied natural gas that are owned by that company. But that's a different matter. And right now, we are completing the final stage of LNG asset consolidation. As you know, we already own part of that asset base, and some of them are owned by gas distribution companies, and we are carving them out in order to make the business transparent and to make sure we can show to the tariff regulator all the costs that we have in terms of LNG sales. This process will soon be finalized. If someone wants to buy any asset from us, we will be happy to consider that. Reuters News Agency, Oksana Kobzeva. I have two questions. First, what's the volume of gas purchases from independent producers that you plan for this year, if any? And the second question is about the market share. What's your estimate for your domestic market share? And what can you say about the trend going forward for the next year or two? As for the market share, I think you can look it up in our presentation. As for gas purchases from independent providers, we acquired 30.5 billion cubic meters, and on average, in 2017, the volume of gas purchases will stay approximately the same. I have a question about the forecast of the market share. You do not have that information in your presentation. What's your estimate going forward? We are not planning to reduce our market share, as I've said, in 2016. That's around 118,000 connections. And it's clear that it will not only be new consumers. We are reconnecting some of the users to increase reliability, but definitely new consumers and the gasification program are the levers that we will be using to increase our market share. in the domestic market, and we are not planning to reduce it. Energy intelligence, Vitaly Sokolov. I would like to receive a certain figure from you of your market share in 2016 and next year, because I failed to find that information in the presentation. And as a follow-up on the same topic, do you have any new major purchases in 2017, or maybe you are in talks with any major industrial consumers? And what might be the impact on your operations from the Federal Antitrust Services initiative to liberalize the market, specifically the proposal to introduce a unified tariff on gas transportation, and also the pilot project that the antitrust regulator is implementing in a number of regions? Thank you. As for the market liberalization, I think you should better address that question to the colleagues of mine who are responsible for the financial and economic policy. I can only say right now that at a meeting on the 3rd March, hosted by Deputy Prime Minister Arkadiy Dvorkovich, we sent our questions to the Ministry of Energy and the antitrust regulator, and we're working in that area. As for the economic impact of the liberalization, there isn't much I can say here. You should ask specialized experts of Gazprom. As for the market share, we had slide number two. There was an increase of 2.8% in total gas sales of Gazprom, and by 2018, we hope it will be the same or even larger. We will add another 0.5%, and it will all depend on the implementation of all technical specifications and on all the connections that we are planning. In terms of new consumers, major industrial consumers, we have quite volumes in the Far East. That's the Nakhodka plant that makes fertilizers, and there's also an ammonia production plant. I'm sorry, that was not ammonia, but methanol production plant. So we do have projects like this, but there are not a lot of them. Just a reminder, a press conference of the financial and economic block will be held later. NTV, unfortunately, I did not find information on the level of gasification of specific regions. What are the best performing regions where there are 100% gasification in cities and rural areas, and those who are poorly performing? It's hard to say. If you're interested in a specific region, I can provide you with the data. For example, Belgorod region is 99% gasified. Bryansk is 89%, 86%, that's Voronezh. Stavropol, the level exceeds 90%. Non-performing. And what about the non-performing? Moscow and the Nenets autonomous area all exceed 90%. Perm, that's 68, 43%, that's Pskov region. Kamchatka, 58%. If you wish, we can provide a detailed information for you on the gasification of regions afterwards, because we do have that information. Roman Filatov, Komsomolskaya Pravda, Omsk region. I would like to once again ask about the considerable rise in gas debts of public utilities in our region of Omsk. There was a multifold rise, and that trend continues. although there are all year round efforts of Gazprom Regiongaz Omsk to resolve that issue. That problem is also relevant for other regions. So are there any efforts planned together with law enforcement agencies to resolve the issue of payment discipline of public utilities in troubled regions? As I've already said, the situation in the Omsk region is not really in a deplorable state because the total level of debt is around 200. And there are several, if I'm not mistaken, five public utilities companies that do have a certain level of debt. But we are not planning to have any centralized efforts because all regions are different. But we do have a dialogue and understanding with law enforcement agencies. As for the reasons for those receivables, it's the economically non-justified tariff in the region that prevents that makes it impossible to cover all the costs. And I can say that in 15 regions, we have more than 1 billion ruble debt of public utilities sector. So compared to that, the situation in the Omsk region is not that poor. Arseniy Molchanov, Russia 24 TV channel. I have a follow-up question, or rather two of them. The average pace of gasification last year was 1 or 2%. What's the reason for that? That's quite moderate. And what share of the net profit is being spent on gasification, and how justified is that? Okay, let's begin with the final part. Every year, Gazprom spends around 25 to 28 billion rubles on gasification annually, as I've already said. As for the share of net profit, I cannot give you the figure right now for you to calculate the share. And there will be a press conference on the 22nd of June, and you will be able to calculate that percentage. All the gasification efforts are economically justified, and they are in line with the norms of economic feasibility approved by the board of directors. As for whether that pace of gasification is considerable or not, I've already said that in 2005 we started quite actively investing in the gasification program, and generally in those initial years, the rise in gasification level was quite sharp. But over time, now that we have been involved in that program for several years, it's obvious that the increase, the rise year to year, is not as impressive as in the first years. Over the past 5 years, the overall increase was 2.8%, and in 2016, it was 1%. So that concludes our presentation. The next press conference will be held on the 6th of June, and that will be the experts of gas. Thank you.